Welcome to this episode of Dialogues with Creators, which is definitely going to take a different path than most of our others. Let me say I resisted the temptation to start with a Scooby-Doo type intro that said something like, "It's spooktacular," because in this month of Halloween, we are going to talk about the horror genre of film and why we like to be scared or don't. Stay tuned for my talk with Mark Hanna, filmmaker and designer of the Lake Winnipeg Spooktober Halloween event. That's a lot to say. Well, hello, Mark. How are you?
Hi, Barbara. It's so nice to be here. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate your coming on this evening and talking to us about something that people have different opinions about. And you definitely know the horror genre and you know about scaring people because you are involved in the Lake Winnipesaukee. That's a big, long word.
Yeah.
Holding up. Halloween scary thing event. So I'm just going to let you talk about that a little bit and how'd you get involved in that and what do you do?
Okay. So the name of the amusement park is Lake Winnipesaukee, just outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And the amusement park is 99 years old this year.
Oh my.
Yeah. And, the couple who started it, the gentleman passed away in 1932 after they started it in 1925. And since 1932, all the women in the family have been running the park.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's a cool story. So in October, instead of Lake Winnipesaukee, they have Lake Winnipesaukee. And of course, we just call it Spook. They have a water park there also called Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yeah.
So they're pretty good on the puns there and the play on words. So so every October, we do it. And it's like it's a lot of fun because it's at nighttime. It opens at like 6 in the evening and lasts till about 11. And the park is open so you can ride all the rides.
Oh.
And you have haunted houses to go through. That's included in the prize. So that's great. And the idea is that you would have two or three haunted houses to go through. This year, we have two walkthrough haunted houses. We are upgrading a ride, a dark ride that you ride through. And we're making sure that it has some scary stuff in it this year. And then there's a little park train that goes around the park. Around the outside perimeter. And so we have a few surprises and scares and some sets and stuff on that. So that gives you four seasonal things to participate in apart from just the regular rides, the Ferris wheel, the carousel, the scrambler, the whatever the other rides are, the kiddie hill with all the little rides on it. Mm-hmm. So they try to have a little something for everybody. In 2018, well, I'll give a little background. On my bucket list was to do a haunted house.
Oh, okay.
So I'd always wanted to do one of my own. And so I was always tinkering with ideas and coming up with storylines and plot lines and this, that, and the other. And I always had a film project in the fall. I mean, literally every year there's a big fall project. And for some reason, in 2018, I did not have a fall project. And it was open. Well, it was too late in the season for me to start something, but I knew that they did something up there and I wasn't exactly sure what. So I just drove up there. And I said, "Hey, do you guys do a haunted house?" I goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Well, I'd like to help." And he goes, "Well, they're not casting yet for actors." And I said, no, I don't want to be an actor. You know, I've got my tools and stuff and I have some background in special effects and art department and stuff. In the film industry, I just like to help build the haunted house. And he goes, "Okay, I'll give your name to the right person." So it turns out the two guys that had been there for several years doing the haunted houses had both left that year and gone to different jobs. Mm-hmm. And they had also invested in a lot of horror props and Halloween props and stuff, like a major investment right when these guys left. So they didn't have anybody. So I stepped up at just the exact right time. And they said, look, if you know about this stuff, come on board and you can design the haunted houses, which was so much more than I expected. I thought I'd just be, you know, painting or decorating or putting props up or rigging some special effects or something like that. Instead, I became the designer. And the other thing that was unique about that year was the owners and the managers never really came and checked on my work. So I just came up with these ideas with what they had, the props and stuff they had, and just ran with it, keeping in mind it was a family park, so we didn't want to go too gruesome or too horrific or whatever. And at the same time, people are paying you to scare them, so it still had to have scares in it. And they came down, and I just hit that sweet spot. And they really liked what I did once everything was up. And so since 2018, I've been doing it, including this year, with the exception of 20 and 21 because of COVID.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we did that. So,
well, I think it's kind of a funny story because you just walked up to these guys and they didn't know your background in the industry. And it sounds like they were sort of like, oh, this guy, he wants to be scary in a haunted spook house or something. And and they didn't know who you were. It's kind of a funny story.
They had no idea who I was. I just walked in at the right time and they had to have somebody. And I was the only one that seemed to know anything about it. So they go for it. So I was like, okay.
They got more than they bargained for.
I think so. I think they were very well pleased with that. Literally came up to me grabbing a piece because it was a little bit late already. They have one haunted house they do every year where the layout stays pretty much the same, or at least half of it. Mm-hmm. So they had been working on that to get that haunted house. And it's kind of a zigzag maze where you're going from room to room and then you walk outside for a little bit and then you go back inside again. And that's been their primary haunted house before I got there. And I'd never gone through it, so I didn't know what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And so they had all these new props and stuff. So I looked at the props and the effects they had bought, and they had three different categories. They had classic kind of gothic, universal black and white monster movie stuff with the cobwebs and the fog and the caskets and the vampire and the werewolf and that kind of stuff. And then they had a bunch of medical based stuff, which I guess somebody had been doing zombie stuff. So they kind of had this medical stuff. And then the third thing they had was clowns. They had a clown hall. So we did three walkthrough haunted houses that year. So we did a clown hall and then a classic monster, what I call a classic monster, monster movie walkthrough, and then a medical walkthrough, which was kind of the zombie thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we've done three haunted houses, we've kept to that. Last year we did three. But this year, because of what we're doing on the train and the dark ride, we're just doing two of the walkthroughs because we're goosing up the other ones. And so I did that. I literally started with a piece of chalk, sidewalk chalk, drawing out the path on the floor of the building that we were going to build the haunted houses. Mm-hmm. And figured out what we were going to do, what each room or passageway was going to be, and just sat down with the chalk and tried to figure it out and go, okay, it's the hallway needs to be this wide and we've got this much space and we've got these props. So I need a room with this and I need a room with that. And we're going to have that. And here's another something that they didn't think I was going to use that I'm going to use. And so just pieced it together from there. So, it was creatively, it was just great. It was basically, here's a bunch of props, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was whatever I could think of to use those props with.
Do they give you a house or is it like already constructed or what?
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. It's an old park, and in the back of the park, back in the 60s, they had a train ride and you rode out in the woods and you went to a Western town. And I think they had some gunfighters, or they had the guys that stopped the train and robbed it, you know, and shot their guns a little or something. It was a, kind of a Wild West ride. Mm-hmm. And it was a train ride, and they had a really nice train station that it pulled in, and it was kind of horseshoe shaped, you know, so the train pulled in on a curve. So they have a horseshoe structure there. Then at some point, they decided to build a new stage for the live performances that they have there from time to time. Mm-hmm. And so it's like an outside amphitheater stage. So the one, and I always use it for the medical, whatever it is, zombies or, you know, mad scientist experiments, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what I've got in mind for this year in just a moment. But those two buildings are already there. So we use the stage and the horseshoe structure of the train station. The other two haunted houses are built under picnic pavilions that they have there. This park is so old-fashioned, they allow you to actually bring your picnic lunch there. And they have these big pavilions that you can rent out or reserve or whatever. And bring your own picnics there for big family reunions or corporate events or all that. They have catering also, but it's the only park I know of where you can bring in outside food, you know, that they don't make you buy the park food. So we take over those pavilions and we build the mazes inside of those, and then we wrap them in black plastic so it'll be dark, dark, dark inside.
Okay. That's kind of fun. I was thinking the medical, you could have it as like a, I mean, this is going to sound insensitive, but like an insane asylum and have serial killers in there or something, which is so not me. I can't believe I'm making it up.
Well, that's good. I got your creative juices flowing.
Not really.
I've always kept it as a medical facility or hospital.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody's doing some horrible experiments. So I'll tell you now. So this year, the idea I came up with is actually kind of fun because it's one of the ideas I had for the haunted house I wanted to do years ago. I found my old sketchbook. Uh-huh. And so I was able to incorporate a lot of my ideas from years ago into this year's version. And it's called the Brainatorium.
Yeah.
And it's a big corporation that clones brains, because harvesting them would, of course, be unethical. And so the idea is you start out and you're at a Halloween open house at the corporation, and they give you a little corporate tour of the facilities, you know, and, you know, thanks for coming and all that. And here's the exit. But as you get ready to exit, all of a sudden the warning light comes on, the red light, and the siren goes off and the door slams shut, and you're on some kind of lockdown that has occurred at the facility. And so you have to exit through the facility. And of course, there you discover maybe things aren't what they seem.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is great. This is going in a different direction than I thought. Okay. Well, then. So when do you start your work? Do you start it in September or August? What, in creative?
Because of the nature of us building in the picnic pavilions, we have to build them every year and tear them back down in November after Halloween. Okay. So we start the early, we start in the middle of August building the thing.
Yeah.
It falls up, you know, and then you put the lights in, and then you've got to, you know, put the fog machines in and figure out where the actors are going to be. And so, so we start in August building the walls.
Okay. So you've got, I hadn't even, like, you have to have characters. Now, where do you get your actors?
They post online. Most of the actors are either high school or college aged, yeah, with a sprinkling of adult people that come in, adult actors that enjoy that kind of thing. Okay. And it's a unique performance. I tell them all, because usually it's theater people that have done stuff before. I always tell them, I say, this is, if you're in a play, you're on stage for, you know, 45 minutes, and then there's an intermission, and then you're on for another 30 or 45 minutes, and you've got one performance you do per night. if you're doing a movie, you do it a little bit of a scene, a little bit of a scene, a little bit of a scene.
Yeah.
And you piece it together that way. With this, it's just group after group coming through. So you have a performance you're doing that only lasts about 12 seconds, and you do it 40 times a night. It's really neat. And with 40 audiences, you know, every audience is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got 40 different audiences, and it may be a group that's really scared. It may be another group that is just a bunch of cut-ups, and they're, you know, sharing wisecracks with the actors. You know, they're not scared at all. Then you got one with kids. Then you've got the teenage boys going through. Then you've got the, you know, the family unit going through. So it's just a variety of people going through. So every minute or two, they've got a new audience coming through their scene.
Mm-hmm. And how many performances are done during the during October?
This year they added a few. It's every Friday and Saturday night in October. So October 4th is our first Friday night.
Okay.
And then they've added two Thursday nights, and they added a Sunday night after the last Saturday night. I know that's a little confusing, but just remember it's every Friday and Saturday night. And if you're interested in going on a Thursday night or that Sunday night, check the website, which is, it's the nickname for Lake Winnipesaukee, lakewinnie.com. So WINNIE.com, yeah. lakewinnie.com.
Well, all the locals know this, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever go there when you were a kid?
That's part of the fun of doing it up there. This is kind of a dream come true. That was probably the first amusement park I ever went to.
Sure.
And of course, I've gone down that path of amusement parks and attractions and movies and special effects and rides and all that kind of stuff. You know, Disneyland is and Disney World are just, I'm a huge fan of that stuff. And now I kind of get to be part of it, you know, on a smaller scale. But there's something to be said for maybe it's a smaller scale, but with the freedom they give me, I don't have a committee over me telling me what to do. After that first year, they pretty much let me do what I want. And I know to keep it within certain parameters. You know, it has to be this scary, but not more than this scary.
Right. So your background, I mean, you've done a lot of different things, but do you have a background in horror movies?
I've worked several horror movies and several science fiction movies. I worked on the first Terminator movie in the art. I worked on another movie in special effects called The Arrival, which was a Charlie Sheen sci-fi movie. It's a good little science fiction movie from the 90s.
Okay.
And I worked on some low budget things that you've never heard of. Locals will know From a Whisper to a Scream. That was Jeff Burr's first feature film, and I worked on that one. That's a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
That's an anthology film. So it's kind of like a haunted house. I've got multiple haunted houses. From a Whisper to a Scream has multiple stories. So you're allowed to have different flavors, if you will, of horror as you go through it. And then I worked on another anthology horror film called Tales from the Third Dimension, which was a 3D, yeah, it was a 3D horror movie. one of the jobs I did on that, one of the stories is these two tomb raiders break into the vaults and catacombs under the big giant cathedral to steal the jewels and stuff, and one double crosses the other one.
Ooh.
And then he murders him or whatever, and he's trying to escape, and he gets stuck. And all the rats come out and eat it.
Oh, gross.
And so on that one, I got to be a rat wrangler.
Oh, okay.
We had rats. So we ordered all these rats from a medical supply company. And we took care to build all this fencing and stuff so they couldn't escape from the set. You know, so we had a couple of sets built where the rats were going to be. There was this tunnel they were going to run down. And then we had the thing at the end where the guy gets stuck and they attack him. And we took all this precaution so the rats wouldn't run away and stuff. And then we finally go over and we open the cages and we start putting them in. And we realized these rats had never been out of a cage in their life. They weren't going anywhere. And so the problem became not that they were going to escape, but how do we get them to move? And we tried little blasts of air from, you know, those little cans of air that you clean your computer with. Stuff like that. We tried little blasts of air to try and get them to move. And, you know, it didn't work very much. So that's, you know, if you watch the movie, it's kind of obvious that they aren't charging rats, you know, on the rampage. And finally, at the end on the guy, we just stood outside the camera, like a foot outside the camera, and just kind of gently tossed him over on the guy's back, you know.
God. I hate rats. Okay.
You do?
Yeah. This is giving me the horrors just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Okay. You said something about the flavors of horror.
Yeah.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, for example, and I'll go back to the haunted houses that I'm doing this year. So we have a clown haunt.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are afraid of clowns. But I've mainly done it. There's a few jump scares or there's a few scares in it, but I've mainly done it as a crazy fun house. Mm-hmm. So they have all these different things they have to walk through. I have one hall that's a hall of cotton candy. And of course, it's not real cotton candy, but it's stuff hanging down that they have to go through, like cottony stuff. And I've actually got it scented. So it's got that sweet cotton candy smell to it. And you go through it. The actors are pretty crazy. And then the whole experience is under black light.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this glowing, fluorescent, you know, trippy kind of experience going on with clowns running around. So that's one kind of flavor. Then the other one is the dark medical one. And that's kind of the gross one. You know, that's the body parts and the heads and the guts and stuff are sitting around and they're, you know, going seeking for brains. And there's all these brains lying around. So that's kind of the gross out one. And then last year with the kind of classic horror one, and that would be kind of the ride through one this year. It's almost like you're in the horror movie yourself, having to walk through the scenes and stuff, you know, and then things, you know, the vampire jumps out at you or the monster jumps up or whatever. And so you've got different flavors of different things. You know, the clown would be more like the psycho killer kind of slasher movie.
Okay.
The medical one is more, you know, the gross, like a Frankenstein movie or something where things are being created, you know. It's horror, but with a little taste of science fiction to it.
Yeah.
And then the third classic horror one is your classic supernatural one. You know, you got spooks in there. So.
I want to follow up on that. But first, what do you think it is about clowns? You know, because when I was a kid, clowns were supposed to be, you know, they were in the circus and they were fun. And there was, you know, Bozo the Clown. And
yeah.
And Willard Scott, who used to do the weather on NBC, was the local clown in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Cousin Cupcake. And that's what I grew up watching. And I wanted to be on Cousin Cupcake so bad with all those other kids, you know, because he was the local guy. And so we never thought of, you know, clowns as being, you know, anything. But then somewhere they became evil. And do you think it was the Stephen King thing or was it something else?
Talking about this the other day, and we were trying to drill down to when clowns stopped being funny and started being scary. And for some reason, I think I forget which is number one and which is number two, but in the top two spots of things that people are afraid of, one of them is snakes and the other one is clowns.
Oh.
And you know, one's 60 something percent and the other's 40 something percent. We looked this up. I can't remember exactly which one is which, you know, but the top two are snakes and clowns. So that's bizarre. I think Stephen King with It and Pennywise, he added to that and made it scary. We also went back to the first Halloween movie from 1979, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's a little kid Michael Myers, the, you know, the killer guy in the series, when he's a little kid, he is first dressed as a clown. And I think that may have also added to it at some point. And then at some point, somebody said, hey, a clown outfit is a cheap, easy to get outfit that we could put our killer in. And we don't have to make a, you know, it's not a mummy. It's not a Frankenstein with prosthetics and makeup. It's not a creature of the Black Lagoon. I think a lot of it had to do with budget as well as.
But as, you know what? I think another thing is the John Wayne Gacy thing. Do you remember that?
Yes, yes, definitely that. Yes, he dressed as a clown and then he turned out to be a serial killer. And so I think that's another. In other words, I don't think there's one single answer. I think it's two or three things that came together at the same time, like in the 70s.
Yeah, but prior to, like when I was little, that hadn't happened yet. So people didn't make those connections. Now, sometimes children are afraid of clowns, just like they're afraid of Santa Claus, because in both cases, I mean, small children, because their faces are not normal.
Yes.
Santa Claus is covered up. He's got a fake beard on and everything. And clowns are not normal looking, you know, the makeup and the typical and all that. So that made me, it may be partly that too, that it's just the way they.
Let me go on the other side of that. The actors come in and some of them are pretty quiet and restrained and stuff. But you put a mask on them or you put the makeup on them and that liberates them because it's not them anymore in a way that is different from just a regular actor in a regular drama going on stage with their own face. There's this whole other level of acting that can come out of being in a costume behind a mask in makeup that is just not there with a you know, without the makeup and the mask.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting you say that because there's two connections. In 1980, I was in a production of Macbeth. I played one of the witches.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got pictures of the makeup. It took 2 hours for them to put the makeup on me and you couldn't tell it was me. And it was quite grotesque and everything. And it was, you could have more fun with it. You know, you could just be, you're a witch and you're evil, you know, so it does do something to you, but it's also like the internet. I mean, people get on social media and they get on the internet and they get in these chat rooms and they become different people because they are masked as well. So they're not themselves.
Writing. Yeah.
They lose their inhibitions. It's an interesting thing.
Can't be held responsible. It's that monster or that mask or whatever that is responsible, not you.
Yeah. Ooh, this is a horror movie right now. I think we're writing a horror movie right now, Mark.
Why?
But what I was thinking about, though, is, you know, I am not somebody that's ever going to watch a slasher movie. You know, I just saw one of those kind of movies.
Because
there's no way I'm going to watch that. It's just too disturbing. I would have nightmares, blah, blah, blah. And I don't like demonic movies where people do like contort their faces and do these things like that movie about the girl coming out of the TV set.
Right.
Ring. Was that the name of it or the ring?
That was funny.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just not going there. But, you know, the old monster movies, you know, like Frankenstein and the way it was done by the back in the 30s. And all, it was classically, it was deeper than just the monster trying to kill people. There was more to it than that.
Yes.
And I love ghost movies. There's some really good old ghosts. I like older movies, ghost movies, you know, that those fascinate me and the old monster movies do, but I don't like anything that's now that's got anything. I hate vampires, demonic. Slasher stuff. So it's like I've compartmentalized it in my brain, even though I think all of those things would probably fit into some categorization of horror movies. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's one of the things. Different things are going to scare different people.
Yeah.
You know, one person is scared of that lumbering monster and they're going to have nightmares about that. Somebody else is going to have the nightmare about the ghost, or somebody's going to have the nightmare about the vampire or a demon. And, you know, different people's backgrounds are going to say what scares them and what doesn't scare them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm frequently asked by kids in line before they go in the house, is it scary in there? And my answer is always, well, I don't know. What scares you?
Yeah.
Maybe that's in there and maybe it's not, you know, because you certainly, I've had kids walk in the front door of the clown house and come screaming out before they ever saw a clown. They couldn't handle it. And then I've had other people that go through it, other kids, same age, maybe even younger, go through it. And they love it, and they want to go through it again and again. And they go through it over and over again. You know, part of that is the funhouse aspect of it that I've built into it. But part of it is they're not afraid of the clowns. And once they get past those initial jump scares, they just like the environment that's in there.
Okay. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. So some things would be, it just depends on the person perceiving it, what's funny to them. I mean, I imagine you get a lot of high school kids that go in, they just say, this is corny, or this is, you know, this is scary, you know.
So sometimes I tell you the worst group to go through are the kind of middle school boys. If I get a group of middle school boys, a lot of time I'll send somebody through because they're self-guided. In other words, we send groups through every few minutes.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they go through on their own. We don't have a tour guide for each group, but if a group like that comes, those guys can be kind of rowdy and damaging to the props and stuff. A lot of times I'll go through and follow them or send somebody through with them. They're the ones that don't get into the spirit of things, whatever. They're there to whatever.
Yeah. They're too cool for school at that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let me mention this, though. We haven't talked about this. One of the things I've learned, both from horror movies, from things that scared me, and also in the haunted house, doing the haunted houses, one aspect of it is, you know, we call it a jump scare. Uh-huh. Because somebody jumps out of somewhere and it startles you. But a huge portion of that is the sound. It's the scream or the yell or the unfamiliar sound or the loud noise or the unfamiliar noise that scares people. The audio has a lot to do with it. You know, the vocalization, it's got to be more than just jumping out at somebody. There's got to be a scream or a phrase or a whatever that comes with it, with that thing where they jump forward.
Yeah. In your mind, what makes a good horror movie?
I like one where there's some meaning to it. In other words, we've gotten to these things where it's like, oh, he's a serial killer, and then we try and get away from him and he just kills everybody. And, you know, about the most you can get from that is like teamwork of the people that wind up all getting killed, you know. That's about all you can take away. But you go back to the classic Frankenstein movie, and there's so many layers of understanding with that. It's also should man. What's the relationship between man and his creation? What's the relationship between man and God? What's the, you know, what goes on here? What's more important in a family? Is it, you know, the man is on the cusp of a scientific breakthrough, but it could break his whole family. You know, should he be more loyal to the science, which is his passion, or should he be more loyal to his wife and child, you know, that stand to have something taken away from them? Either the professor gets lost, or a bride of Frankenstein, you know, the monster comes and kidnaps the bride, you know, the actual wife of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And so I like those layers of meaning where there's stuff that gets more on a societal level rather than just a band of survivors and they're getting killed off one by one.
Mm-hmm.
And the the clever part of it is, how are we going to kill these people? To me, that's not enough. I need something else that's gonna be there that makes me think about stuff.
Okay. So what would you say made a bad one? And would you want to, I mean, could you name some that people would know?
Well, I don't want to throw down on anybody's movie because it's so hard just to make a movie. But a bad one is one where you go in and there's a lack of creativity there. Even if it is one where they just kill people, you know, and they did kill them in interesting ways. You know, even then it's like my ticket wasn't worth it. You go back to the original Halloween and there's a lot of Hitchcock in that that plays with the angles and the suspense. It's mm-hmm. not just a body count. It's the suspense of when and where the guy's going to show up. And so I think that's how Halloween kicked that whole thing off. And there was some real skill there in that original one that came. You mentioned the Saw movies. I wasn't going to go see it because I thought the same as you, but I wound up, it was getting so much press, I figured I needed to go see it just from a professional standpoint. And I went and saw the first Saw movie, and there was some clever stuff in there. There was some puzzle-solving stuff that was this whole other level of cleverness that I did not expect there to be in the movie. Mm-hmm. And the first one, I will give a one thumbs up for kicking off that. I think the other thing you got to keep in mind on something like Halloween or the first Saw movie or the first Frankenstein movie for that matter, you know, they spend a long time before that first movie ever gets made. And then they come out and they're a hit. Well, they want that next movie out in 6 months or 9 months. They want it out the next year, you know, by Halloween. So all of a sudden, all that time you had on the first script to write and rewrite and edit, that's gone. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times these movies are reduced in what they are able to do because there's just no time to sit and think. And so they have to do the easiest thing, which is, let's just kill people. You know, we got a guy in a clown suit. Let's just stab people.
Yeah. You know, when you're talking about Hitchcock, of course, I'm a big Hitchcock fan. But of course, the ultimate scene in Hitchcock is the shower and Norman Bates and everything.
Yes.
And that has so imprinted. I mean, even to this day, you know, women don't like to be in the shower when nobody else is in the house.
No, I've seen that movie. That scene is to Showers as Jaws is to swimming in the ocean.
Yes.
They did such a great job of scaring you that you don't want to be in that environment anymore.
And the reason is that you could not be more vulnerable than in that situation.
Yes.
You know, you're obviously unclothed and you also have no thing. It's water and you're slippery and you have nothing to hold on to and you have nothing to fight back with. You have nothing. You're just absolutely as vulnerable as a human being could be. And, you know, from that perspective, it was brilliant that he did that, you know, because it's something you never forget.
Yeah.
And it gets into a very, just a super, super fear that we don't actually think about. But once you think about it, it's like, yeah, I mean, where else would you be more vulnerable than that?
Right. And I think that's something to do with the haunted houses that I do. You're in an environment that you're not familiar with, and there's somebody or something else that is familiar with it. You know, the monster knows the haunted house. You don't. And so when you're going through the clown house, all the clowns know the layout. They know what's around the next corner. You don't. And the hospital one, you know, the brainatorium, all the monsters and mad scientists know what's around the next corner. You don't. And you're vulnerable. You know, you're just having to plow through and try and get through as best you can.
So why do we like scary stuff?
I've thought about that also. I think there's two things. There's the, and I don't know if this goes into the female psyche also, but the male psyche, there's all that, you know, you got to go out by yourself and kill a lion before you can be part of the tribe. And I think there's some of that. I lived through a thing. I've got bragging rights now. I think there's something of that in the male psyche. And I think the other thing is it just comes down to an adrenaline rush. And in modern society, we don't get that much. And it's like a treat.
He's not driving Atlanta very often.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the old days, in the caveman days, I mean, people had to watch out all the time when they went out. You know, so a saber-toothed tiger was going to eat them or something. Mm-hmm. So constantly under an adrenaline fight or flight rush. But we don't get that so much now. You know, you sit all day at your office, at work, and you're on a computer and you're doing something that's safe and sound, and there's food downstairs and there's food at home. And even though the traffic is bad, it's not too crazy. You know, it's manageable. And so I think we look for those things. You know, in the old days, dessert was rare.
Yeah.
And so it was a real treat. And so I think now that rush you would get from sugar back in the old days, that was such a rare treat that maybe it had more meaning for those people back then. And nowadays, that adrenaline rush of fight or flight is so rare. You know, we get a rush from that nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody does. Some people are truly terrified and just don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
I never try and force somebody to go through the haunted house. I will talk to them. I have on occasion, if I see them on the fence about it, and they're a kid, I want them to like it, I will walk them through myself.
Oh.
And I tell the actors, hey, I've got a VIP here, and they know not to scare them.
Oh.
I can take them through and kind of show them how the things were done. And I came up with that because that was one of the first scare experiences I had. There was an amusement park in Panama City Beach called the Miracle Strip Amusement Park. And they had a ride through haunted house and they had a walk through haunted house. And my mom, probably much younger than I ever should have went, took me on the ride through haunted house. And while I was terrified, she was giving me, you know, a play-by-play color commentary of what was going on and how they did it.
So
I had this complete mixture of, oh my gosh, that's the scariest thing I've ever seen in my 6 years of life. And what a clever thing.
Yeah.
And so I kind of got hooked on that. So I think if I can show a kid how that works, you know, that I can get a convert out of it rather than, you know, somebody that enjoys that rather than somebody that's just terrified and won't have anything to do with it. They can appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you answering that question, because I thought maybe it was, we know it's not real. We know that's, I mean, in the back of our heads or in our subconscious, right. We know it's not really a serial killer or really a whatever. But we bought into it, but so we can have the scare, but there's also going to be the relief that it's not real.
Right.
In a sense.
Yeah. So, I think that's part of it. That's riding a roller coaster. You know, that's at the end of the day, you know, you're going into something that is safe, but it fools you. I always say there's the truth. And then there's the opposite of the truth, which is a lie. But there's a third thing, and that's the counterfeit. Mm. And so haunted houses are the counterfeit of the real deal. You know, the truth is we want to be safe. Opposite of that is a life or death situation. But there's the counterfeit where we appear to be in, you know, a scary situation, but we're really not.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, okay. At this point, do you have anything else you want to say?
I don't think so. I covered it pretty good. I don't want to give away too much of the stuff. You know, I mean, I would say this Halloween, make sure you go out and find a haunted house and go through it. It's a unique experience. It's different from going to see a movie. You're not just sitting there. You're actually physically walking through an environment. It's different. You read a book, you go to a play, you see a movie. Okay, now you can go through a haunted house. some type of haunt. Yeah. And so that's a whole nother area of entertainment that you can do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think it's really neat that you're doing this and helping out Lake Winnie.
Yeah.
You know, taking it to another level of professionalism, I'm sure. You know, and it's the locals and giving the people that work with you the experience of all your knowledge of this field.
I would like to mention one other thing I didn't. I'd like to talk about theme.
Yeah.
If I could do that.
Sure.
So a lot of haunted houses, they just have the Michael Myers room, or they have the Nightmare Before Nightmare on Elm Street room. And it's just a series of scares and rooms and stuff. My stuff, I like to have a theme and a story, whether the people actually get it or not. But that gives me something to hang the horrors on. So with the idea of the Brainatorium, I've got a whole storyline of the mad doctor whose name is Dr. Sarah Bellum, the female mad scientist. And so so there's a story there that if you're paying attention, you can follow it through as the kind of as it kind of builds to a climax or whatever, a point made of the story. The theme in the clown haunt wasn't just to have a place with a lot of clowns. It was to have a crazy funhouse. So there are funhouse elements in it as well as just scares and stuff. So I like to have a story or a theme to hang the horrors on.
Yeah.
And I also like comedy. I like comedy, so I have humor in there. If you go through and you're not just terrified and you look, you will definitely see some humor here and there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I really appreciate you giving us your time, because this you're obviously really busy right now getting these exhibits, if you will, that you call haunts.
Yeah.
Haunts ready. And thank you for helping us understand why we like scary movies. Folks, we've been talking with Mark Hanna, filmmaker, and we've been talking about horror, the horror genre, and also haunted houses. And as he mentioned, check out the haunts, the haunted themes of the Lake Winnipesaukee Halloween events. And you can go to their website to find out more about it. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.